Call today.
This is Free Talk Live. It's your show, and you can bring up whatever you want. The toll-free number for you is 800-259-9231. As we launch into hour number two of the program, it's Ian here with you.
Vanguard.
And Mark. That number is 1-800-259-9231, and it is a SACL CAI toll-free line. You can join us online at freetalklive.com. The features on the website we give away, so enjoy those on us. That is freetalklive.com. Still to come, I've got to talk about the Mexican truck drivers that so many Americans are very upset about. For what reason? Well, we'll get into that. But first, we're going to back to the phones and back to Justin in Maryland. Justin, you're on Free Talk Live.
Hi.
Hey, what's on your mind tonight?
Well, I would talk about my experience in the CPS system a couple of years back. It was a short experience, but it was a horrifying one.
Child Protective Services?
Yes.
Okay. Were you a child or were
yes,
you...
Yes, I was a child at the time.
Or a young person.
You know, my father... Sorry.
Go ahead.
My father, a guy broke into our house, and he was nearly beaten with an inch of his life, you know?
Wow.
You know, he basically went to the hospital protecting us,
mm-hmm.
you know, us children. He raised three boys on his own,
mm-hmm.
you know? Anyway, they send us to this foster home, right, after he has to be carried out in a stretcher, you know? And basically, they send us to this family of sadists where they rub your face in your own crap.
Wow. Are you serious?
Yes, I am absolutely serious. There were reports of shoving liquor down people's throats. I didn't experience that, but they used to tear you up in the night, rip you up, and throw you into a corner, like toss.
Wow.
I mean, the CPS system, I look at what they are today with the child drugging scandals, and I look at some of the stories I'm hearing, it's not so different from what happened to me. I was sent back to my father after he healed up.
Mm-hmm.
After there was a big scandal in my town, and they wanted to sweep it under the rug, and they just gave away, they took away their license so they could sweep it under the rug. They didn't want to press any charges.
They took away the foster permitting, whatever the license they have to hold to be able to collect the foster checks?
Oh, of course, but it was a way to sweep it under the rug.
Mm-hmm.
They did not want any charges pressed. Otherwise, there would be some serious investigations.
How many other kids were at the home that you were at?
Plenty. There were about maybe 7 or 8. Some of them were their kids.
Mm-hmm.
Those were the ones who got the best treatment.
I would imagine.
You know?
What other things did they do? I mean, they got you out of bed, they threw you into a corner physically, they shoved feces in your face. What other things did you experience?
Most of the things I can remember that I experienced, they really wanted to separate me from my brother all the time because we were so close.
Mm.
You know, I mean, it was really abusive.
That's how old were you at this time?
I was only about 3 years old.
Oh, my goodness.
You know?
And you actually vividly recall some of this?
Have some nightmares.
Mm. Oh, I'm so sorry that happened to you. And it's just yet another horrific story from the government's Child Protective Services system.
Mm.
I mean, we've heard story after story, and it's just terrible. Did you not have family members you could have gone to? Was your dad the only family member at that time? Did no grandparents to speak of?
Well, there were family members, but, you know, some of them just, I don't know, there was a kind of something going on in the family about that. I don't quite remember it. I mean, my mom actually arranged that beating because my dad got full custody from me, from my mom, because my mom was not fit to be a mother at the time.
She arranged the beating your dad received?
Yeah, she planned it.
Did she get any kind of legal trouble?
No. But you heard stories around, you know.
My goodness. Was she on drugs or something like that? Like hooked on crack?
Yeah, she was a wild child. You don't want to be around her when she was drinking, trust me, when we were kids.
Goodness.
She gave us a lot of childhood scars.
Justin, glad you made it out alive, man. Thank you for the story. We appreciate the call. 1-800-259-9231.
Wow, sad story.
Yeah. Julia and I were recently reading some meth stories, crack stories, stories from people who have had addictions to those drugs, and... You know, it's just amazing. The things that people who are addicted to certain drugs will do in order to get the money they need to buy their next hit will just shock you. I mean, if you've never read anybody's story, if you've never actually heard someone's honest, true-to-life story of what it was like for them as a crack addict or as a meth head, you owe it to yourself to really understand, to really...
Well, I was going to say, talk about setting the others...
yourself against the others and rationalizing ways that you deserve to get what they have. Mm. You know, you've got to continue to survive, so of course you've got to take it.
And they said there was, it doesn't matter, you know, if it was mom or if it was your best friend, you would have no qualms about stealing from them, taking their stuff, pawning it, going out and using that money to buy your next hit of crack. And, I mean, just that you'll destroy relationships over it. I mean, it was just, it's just awful to read. And, of course, the reason why these drugs are so detrimental, not only are they physically detrimental, and first off, we should point out that crack and meth probably would not exist if it weren't for the war on drugs, because dealers are constantly looking for ways to bring cheaper drugs to market, and they don't care how dangerous they are.
Right.
So, that, you know, we could make that argument, but nonetheless, they're here today, and people are addicted to them today. And if they weren't so expensive because of the black market, they would much better be able to be functional addicts as opposed to these addicts that live their lives to steal something so they can go and get their next hit. There was one person who said he started doing meth every, you know, couple weeks, and then it was every other week, and then it was, you know, every weekend, and then it was every day, and then it was twice a day, and then that was all he was doing. It just becomes your life. And before you know it, you're in a trailer in some dirty part of town giving a BJ to some guy so you can get your next hit.
Mm.
That's how low people will go for this. And the fact is, if we are to end the war on drugs, take the drugs out of the hands of criminals and put them back into the hands of American business people that care about their customers, the prices would drop dramatically. These addicts would not have to go through the depraved, horrific, dangerous things that they do.
I think the proof to that is you know, tobacco and alcohol.
Yep.
Look, these are both items that, at least alcohol, some people will tell you it's addictive.
Oh, well, with tobacco, they're doing it several times a day, many tobacco smokers.
Most of them are smoking a couple of packs a day.
Yeah.
And, you know, have the tobacco companies done some things that I disagree with? Absolutely. You know, I think that they've taken cigarettes and they've made them more addictive, and they've added chemicals to them to make them more addictive, and therefore those chemicals are more carcinogenic, and that's not good by any stretch of the imagination, but you don't see anybody hurting anyone else over getting their cigarettes.
Nope. 1-800-259-9231. Let's continue with the phone calls and talk to Tom in New Hampshire. Tom, you're on Free Talk Live. Hello.
Yeah, in fact, there were so many drug addicts in the New Hampshire legislature that when I was there, they had a designated room directly behind the House chamber. So if they could not make it through the session without another fix, they could step back there and light up cigarettes and puff away and feed their addiction to the harmful drug of their choice. And they decide what drugs are going to be legal. Surprise, surprise, they decide cigarettes are going to be legal.
Yeah, now, it's sick.
About the price gouging, first of all, buying gasoline is not entirely voluntary. It's becoming, people are forced and coerced into making these purchases by the government with practices that the government imposes.
Like what?
No, you can't build, you can't start a business at home. You have to build it in a commercial zone, and then we're going to plow all this snow off the streets onto the sidewalks so you can't walk down the street and get to work on your own 2 feet. And zoning restrictions, just try walking to any shopping mall and just see how they've designed the streets totally with harassing pedestrians as, you know, like a major component of the design. It's like no sidewalks. Building roads without sidewalks. What was going through their mind? And then, but we have public transportation, and it's not there on Sunday. Or it's during the daytime, but not in the evening.
Right, so, for all you third shifters.
Right.
Yeah, so, now that you brought that up. Oh, by the way, have you read my book?
No, Tom, I have not read your book.
I don't know anything about your book, Tom.
Yeah, well, I wrote a book called Billy's Reward, and if you want to know what it says, you'd have to read Billy's Reward. It's available for free on the Internet. But anyway,
That's great. So go ahead.
Now, speaking of third shifters, you notice the government also has policies favoring day shifters by compressing all the noise making and all the regulations, like harassing
right. telemarketers. And government offices are only open from 9 to 5. So, I mean, you really have to... The government doesn't care about you and what your shift is. And, Tom, thanks for the call. They just want to do their little thing, go home, and get their government paycheck. They're not about government. They're not about customer service at all. Don't let them fool you. More on the way. This is Free Talk Live.
Do you feel like you should be free to live your life however you want, so long as your actions don't harm anyone else? There's good news. You are not alone. Thousands of people like you are going to move to New Hampshire so we can reclaim our lost liberties. Be part of the Second American Revolution. Join the Free State Project. You can learn more at freestateproject.org or call toll-free 1-888-532-4604. That's 1-888-532-4604 or visit freestateproject.org.
Here's a good idea. When you have a legal matter like creating your will or legally setting up a business with a corporation or LLC, you don't necessarily need a law firm. Use LegalZoom.com. At LegalZoom.com, you answer straightforward questions online, and they take care of the rest. They even review your answers for common mistakes and guarantee your satisfaction. Free Talk Live listeners, you'll get 10% off your order by typing in FTL in the referral box at purchase. Don't procrastinate with these important legal documents. LegalZoom.com.
Ted Anderson from Midas, August 31st, 2007. Gold is at $673.50. Gold coins can be purchased for $695.13, $342.95 for half, $171.48 for quarter. That's $695.13, $342.95, and $171.48. Hedge funds cut in the malaise of mortgage bankruptcies. The bond market continues to slump. J.P. Morgan gets caught in a $10 billion bad deal for Chrysler. Housing sales fell 6.6%. Mortgage giant Countrywide showed mortgage payment woes spreading to the middle and upper class. Investors cast doubt on investment banks. Credit protection insurance for mortgage lenders are skyrocketing due to the increased risk. The U.S. dollar is free-falling against foreign currencies, and countries that previously financed the U.S. are now seeking safer alternatives. Economist Rudy Boyd published the report Bubble Leaking. Call for the report today, 800-686-2237. The value of your hard-earned money is being lost in a global game of chess. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Oh, those summer nights and those summer electric bills. How would you like to save money this summer on your electric bill and sleep better than ever? Well, now you can with the Bedfan Personal Cooling System. The Bedfan will allow you to raise your thermostat several degrees and still sleep cool. This works by delivering a gentle breeze between your sheets, thus keeping your body cool and comfortable. Doug from Austin, Texas writes,
I like it to be very cold while sleeping. Since purchasing the Bedfan, I've been able to turn the thermostat up from 68 to 78 degrees, and I've never been more comfortable. My electric bill this month compared to the same month last year is over 27% lower. I couldn't be happier with your product.
Maybe it is time you started thinking about trying the Bedfan Personal Cooling System. If you're a hot sleeper, you will love it. If you want to lower your electric bill, you will love it too. Go to Bedfan.com and try the remarkable Bedfan yourself. That's Bedfan.com or call 210-632-8280. That's 210-632-8280. The Bedfan is on sale for a limited time, so don't delay. Remember, Bedfan.com or 210-632-8280.
Attention, this is an urgent GCN news bulletin. Honeybees are now mysteriously vanishing at an astonishing pace across the entire country. Why is this urgent message about honeybees so desperately important? The answer is easy. You see, honeybees produce a unique compound, fed only to the queen, that makes her live 6 times longer than other bees in the hive. Some researchers now believe the compound may have miraculous effects on humans as well. The compound is called Royal Jelly, and is now available in an all-new, ultra-purified form called Jellicene Gold. The product has been designed for purity conscious Americans who are concerned about contaminated royal jelly entering the U.S. from Asia. Solutions from Science is the only company authorized to sell Jellicene Gold in the U.S. They believe it to be the purest, most potent, and safest form of royal jelly in the world. GCN listeners can now purchase this product wholesale on the Solutions website without paying anything today. Visit the Safer Jelly website right now. That's SaferJelly.com. SaferJelly.com. Or call 877-327-0365. 877-327-0365.
This is Free Talk Live. Call toll-free 1-800-259-9231. That's 800-259-9231. And get interactive at freetalklive.com.
This is Free Talk.
Talk Live. It's your show, and you can bring up whatever you want. The toll-free number is 800-259-9231. Sickle CAI toll-free line. That's 1-800-259-9231. And you can join us online at freetalklive.com. All the features on the site for free, including the archives. An entire year's worth of the show, front page of the website. You just go and download them. They're free. freetalklive.com. And if you or perhaps someone you know needs a primer on some of the subjects we talk about here on Free Talk Live, you should check out the Liberty Radio Underground. It's an elementary introduction to libertarianism, and each show concisely handles a single topic in under 10 minutes. It's great for someone who's new to liberty. Go to libertyradiounderground.com today and grab an episode. That's libertyradiounderground.com. So we've been talking, throughout most of the show at least, about some of the misconceptions that the government school system imbues into young people in this country.
Yeah.
And it's really tragic. It's really tragic because it sets aside most of the population. It sort of just puts them out of the equation as far as the marketplace is concerned. Yeah, they're still working. Yeah, they'll go to their job and they'll go home every single day, and that's good and everything. But they never think outside the box. They never think about being an entrepreneur. They never think about starting their own business. Or in the few cases where they might, something interesting happens. And I'd like to share a story with you. Julia told me this one because, again, she works in the food service business, so she comes across a lot of, you know, regular worker types, and she's a manager there. And so one of the kids that works with her, young males, he's, I think, 19.
Yeah.
And he's one of the best workers in the restaurant. He's manager material for sure, if he wanted to be, right? Because you got to want it. You can't just get promoted to be a manager. You're not going to be able to do your job.
Right.
If you don't want that responsibility, then you're not going to be able to do it. He could do it. Very, very, very well capable. He knows the whole store. He's very good with customers, the whole deal. But he doesn't want to be a manager.
Why?
So, because they're, again, most government kids, people that go through the government system are conditioned to just sort of do the bare minimum. Just do the bare minimum to survive. And I think that's sort of a human condition anyway. And if they don't have the correct incentives, then they don't really look outside of that. So, you know, he's making enough money now, he's comfortable. Why take on extra responsibilities?
Hmm.
And so then apparently he revealed to Julia recently that he's going to school for business. He's going to school for management. So he wants to be a manager in a business.
Bizarre.
And he's going to school for it. You see what I mean by kids staying inside the government box? Because the government box tells you, well, you've got to go through your 13 years of government schooling.
You've
got to
do the abstract stuff before you do the application.
Right, and then you have to go to college and learn about business.
You couldn't possibly be a manager until you've taken your 4 years of management college courses.
Yeah. Right, and that's what he thinks. This is his thought process.
For a second, the people that he's going to be learning from know anything about management themselves, as though they've ever managed anything. Maybe. I mean, you know, there's possibly a professor out there that's managed something. But I am of the opinion that you're going to learn, a college degree is simply a license to learn how to do your job.
Mm.
You walk in with the bare minimum of what it takes to do the job, and then you start learning how to do it.
Right.
Yeah.
You're going to learn far more by being a manager at a Panera Bread company than you are by going to take, college courses, unless there's some kind of high-end managing that he needs to do, but I don't see that.
That wasn't the impression I got from the discussion, and so you have to remember, this is the mindset. Oh, I must go through the steps. I've been told that this is what I'm to do. I've been told that I must go to college if I want to be successful. I want to be a manager, so I'm going to go to college. Now, even in the best case scenario, best case being mom and dad are paying for the school. Worst case being, he's taken out loans. But even in the best case scenario, he's throwing his parents' money down the drain. I mean, what, $10,000 a year, just to be conservative, to say, to go to government school?
That sounds pretty conservative.
4 years of that, I mean, $40,000 down the drain, when all he really has to do to get into the world of management is say,
yeah.
I'd like to be a manager. And it wouldn't be long if he, you know, kept doing what he was doing now.
Open up his own shop, own his own shop.
He could certainly be owning his own shop after four or five years.
Franchise.
Right.
Yeah.
But he could be a manager at the store he's at right now. But he doesn't see that possibility. He doesn't see that as an option for his life. All he sees is what he's been told he has to do.
You know, that is a very odd manifestation of the government school mindset, that insulating cocoon in which everybody thinks they have to exist. And I think you look at so many of the people who never went to college, and beyond not having spent so much money and having all those loans to pay off when they get done, mm-hmm. they've had years to prepare and actually be in that business world and understand, you know, there is a sequence to dealing with customers. There's a way you do it. There's a way to do this business.
Right.
You can apply certain standards in other businesses. And the entrepreneurial spirit is in so many of those people when they're out on their own and they get to do it for
right.
their own survival.
There's nothing I can't imagine how you could learn a damn thing about managing a retail establishment from sitting in a classroom.
Yeah.
Don't understand that at all. It's a totally hands-on experience. I could have gone into retail management had I wanted to, but I'd already started my career in radio at that time.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's just you learn from doing. You don't learn from sitting in a class. And so when this guy, if he keeps following this path, when he gets done with his 4 years of partying, because come on. That's what college is about these days.
Not every student does that, but, you know, if you want to party, and it's certainly it's something that kids want to do, that's, you know, that's the right time.
It's always an opportunity.
Right age bracket for it, and they're away from home and all that stuff.
When he gets done with his 4 years of college and gets out and he's got his business degree, then he's going to come back. Let's just say he goes back to the same store he's working at now. Julia's going to be the general manager by that time because she's already on that track.
Right.
And 4 years from now, no problem at all. They have people working for this company that have only worked there for 3 years that are general managers.
Right.
So, no problem. And then he's going to have to start, you know, at the bottom rung. Because
maybe they'll give him a shift supervisor position because he's got the degree.
No, probably because he'd been working there in the past. But, you know, think about yourself as a business owner. Let's just imagine that you are hiring somebody for your shift supervisor position at a restaurant that you own. Do you want to hire the person who's never been to college but has 3 years of restaurant experience? Or do you want to hire the fresh-faced young lad out of college? He's got his degree, but that's about it.
When you say that, I don't know. But I can tell you that if I'm hiring for my general manager and I'm looking at somebody who's biannual review. If they've gotten good reviews and they're an assistant manager at some other store, I would definitely want that person who has management experience.
Right.
But the simple fact that they worked at a Panera Bread for 3 years does not make me think necessarily they're a good employee. I would rather have somebody who made 4 years of college at that point because at the very least they managed to finish college. Whereas, you know, having 3 years experience and you haven't gotten anywhere in the food service industry, I'm not so sure I want you.
800-259-9231. All I'm saying is, to me, as a business manager, college isn't impressive. Doesn't impress me at all. Somebody who's actually had their feet on the ground, has been dealing with customers, understands what retail is all about, that's valuable to me.
I would agree that those things are definitely valuable.
On my question, the 3-year employee would be a good employee, not some.
And, you know, what a letdown. What a letdown for somebody to come out of college and then have to try to get into there starting real low.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
I mean, that's very frustrating.
That would be a shock to the system.
Yeah.
More on the way. You can take control of the airwaves and bring up anything, whether you want to talk about the government education system and how it's ruining the kids of America or the Mexican truck drivers. A lot of America very upset about this. We'll find out why, if there even is a reason. Coming up, this is Free Talk Live. You take control.
Are you fed up with all the side effects of chemicals in your shampoos and detergents? Even fragrances can signal some 4,000 separate ingredients, most of which are synthetic. Hi, folks. Alex Jones here. Why not go back to basics and be safe with Calbin Pure Soaps? They're all natural, and you'll save some 85% the money you're spending for your cleaning products now. Marty Schachter founded Calbin Soap Company in 1947 and provided products for health institutions. Now, Calbin Soaps are available to you and me. Triple concentrate for all your cleaning needs, from bathing and laundry to dishes, hair, and more. No harsh chemicals, no animal testing. I use them and love them, knowing they're all natural and safe, and I save big time. Call Calbin Pure Soap at 1-800-340-7091. That's 1-800-340-7091. Or log on to 5starsoap.com now for a free catalog. Again, that number, 1-800-340-7091 or 5starsoap.com for all your cleaning needs.
Do you know the secret to reading 1,000% faster? That's right, the secret that could allow you to read 10 books in the time it takes others to read just one? Hi, I'm Jeff Flam, founder of Infinite Mind. I'd like to send you a free demo of this secret developed by a leading expert in brain function. Experience with this free demo the secret to reading 1,000% faster. Call now to try this demo absolutely free. Imagine how reading 10 times faster could help your entire family. Kids do better in school, teens can score higher on their college entrance exams, and busy adults can gain that ever-important edge at work. This free demo of IQ is only available for a limited time, so call now. Just think how reading 10 times faster could improve your life and the life of your family.
Call now to try this demo absolutely free. Dial 1-800-990-1878. That's 1-800-990-1878. 1-800-990-1878.
When my son started having behavior problems, the total transformation techniques were like the instruction manual on how to deal with him. We got immediate results.
Ever wish your kid came with an instruction manual when he's disrespectful, defiant, or even abusive? Do you know how to fix it? I'm behavioral therapist James Lehman, and I'll show you how to change your child's behavior right now with the Total Transformation. The program then helps you fix every behavior problem under the sun. Defiance, backtalking, lying, acting out in school, even problems with ADD and ADHD. There's no screaming, no fighting, no frustration. The Total Transformation is the program I've used for over 30 years to solve even the worst behavior problems. Your child will listen to you again, and you'll get peace and sanity back into your home. I guarantee it.
Call now and get How to Turn Your Child's Attitude Around in 1 minute or less free with your order. 1-800-373-0402. 1-800-373-0402. Call now. 1-800-373-0402. 1-800-373-0402.
Babies spend up to 15 hours a day sleeping and playing on a crib mattress. Standard baby mattresses are suspected of containing potentially harmful chemicals. The primary ingredient in most mattresses is polyurethane foam, a highly flammable petroleum product. At Naturepedic, we believe that your baby's health and safety are not negotiable. An organic cotton mattress is the first step toward a healthy and natural crib environment. At Naturepedic, the no-compromise organic baby crib mattress features organic cotton filling and a waterproof surface so pure that it meets food contact standards. A Naturepedic mattress provides a healthy sleep environment for your baby and a peace of mind for you. Go to naturepedic.com. That's naturepedic.com. Or call 1-800-91-PEDIC. That's 1-800-91-PEDIC. Call today.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
This is Free Talk Live. It's your show, and you can bring up whatever's on your mind. The live Labor Day edition. It's Ian here with you.
And Gard.
And Mark.
800-259-9231. You can join us online at freetalklive.com. The features on our site for free, including the wiki, over 1,400 pages created by listeners just like you. It's like the listener editable version of our website. Head over to wiki.freetalklive.com to experience it and to edit it, because you can do that. Wiki, wiki.freetalklive.com.
Now you can save time and money on common legal matters created by top attorneys. LegalZoom.com helps you create reliable legal documents like setting up a corporation or a limited liability company. LegalZoom.com. Use code FTL to save 10%. That's LegalZoom.com.
Now, we're going to get to the Mexican trucker thing, but Gardner, you during the break, you found something, an interesting post on the Free Talk Live BBS.
Yeah.
At bbs.freetalklive.com, and you thought it was worth sharing. So
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm actually responding to it right now. During the break, I was responding to it. So I can't see exactly who posted it yet, but essentially... the question is, it regards schools and learning, and people can see it at the BBS at freetalklive.com. The poster says, I was going to put this in a polling bib and so on and so forth. He says, it recently struck me that during my time in school, my instinct for self-learning was completely crushed out of me. I don't know if anyone else has had this experience, but I find myself now trawling Wikipedia endlessly for just about anything and heading to my nearest inner city library when I want to get something more in-depth. Even with concerns with libertarianism, it's only since I left the state school system that I have started reading in detail the work of Mises, Friedman, and some other economists. Anyway, long point short, if you've been to state school, do you think it
hurt your will to learn.
Well, actually, I have a response on from the Internet here. I've got some lyrics from a Paul Simon song. It says here, when I look back at all the crap I learned in high school, it's a wonder I can think at all. So you apparently know, Paul Simon had the same exact comment.
I don't think I ever came to the as explicit that a conclusion as the writer did there, but I definitely share his feelings because I found that after I got out of school, and I mean all school, after I got out of college and government high school, is when I really started to learn.
Oh, that's when I really wanted to learn.
Yeah, it's when I really wanted to learn as well. And I think what it has to do with is the authoritarian way that government schools are run. You must read this book and report on it back to the class within the next 2 weeks. But wait, what about me and what I want?
Yeah.
I don't want to read that book. I'm not interested in reading that book. That book doesn't fascinate me. It doesn't catch my fancy. So what did I do? I didn't read the book. I fudged the book report, sped through the book, kind of like picked out a couple pages and fudged my report from that, like most kids do.
Well, now with the Internet, you don't even have to read books
anymore.
Now
you can look up reports.
You can just get a report off the Internet.
Yeah, true.
So it made me just not, I was not interested at all in the stuff they tried to force feed me. And that means everything, even stuff that might have actually been valuable, like in Spanish class. All I did in Spanish 2 was just F off. I just screwed around in the class, and I harassed the teacher, and I just was bored to tears. I didn't want to be there. I resented the fact that I had to take Spanish. I did not want to take Spanish. Now, later on, just a matter of a couple years later, boy, did I wish I had actually been interested in learning Spanish. But they didn't do anything to interest me in it.
Exactly.
It was not an experience I wanted to be a part of, especially when it was government done.
Especially with a guy, the greatest incentive is how to be able to talk to a really, really, really hot Spanish-speaking girl. So if you know the goal, you can work towards it. Right. I did 4 years as an Espanol in high school and college, mm-hmm. 2 and 2, as Chuck Woolery would have said. And when I got done, I couldn't even conjugate bailar to a girl in a club to ask her to dance.
Wow.
And I just sat there and said, if I had known I was going to meet this girl in this gorgeous orange dress, I would have known. I would have studied. I would have done this. I would have worked harder every day. You know, give me an incentive.
By a loss.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but then there are by different tenses.
Well, that's just I'm only conjugating the present tense.
Okay.
By a lease, which you never use, and then by a lawn. I'm just guessing.
I don't know. I didn't learn. So somehow they do crush it out of you.
Yeah,
they crush that desire to learn.
Yeah.
Learning becomes a chore when you're in government school.
Well, actually, you know what? I was responding to this, and I was saying, for me, what it did was it became a force against which I was pushing back. Mm. So I actually fought harder. And it incited me to work harder because I resented that so much. I'll give you an example. They've got a sixth grade class here in Milford, New Hampshire. The summer reading list of which, for all the kids, every book was an environmental screed.
Oh, geez.
And so I'm sitting there talking to this woman who has this kid who's got this list of books. And it's just, awful. Oh, yeah, just awful. And so I gave her all these websites. I was like, here, check this out. Go to Junk Science. Go here, go there. And I said to you, I said, because this kid was philosophically more inclined like we are.
Mm-hmm.
He questioned these teachers who, of course, always say question authority, but don't question that authority.
Right.
So I said, look, you're in it now. You're in ninth grade, or no, you're in sixth grade. They're starting with you. I was like, this is not going to stop all the way through college. You're going to have to fight this. And I was like, you got to be up to the challenge, dude. I was like, you can really strengthen yourself if you push back, but beware. When you do, you got to have your stuff to back you up, and you always got to be ready that you could be marked down.
So when you say push back, you mean come back against their teachings and perhaps bring up the opposing view and refuse to accept the socialist doctrine?
Yeah, that's what got me so intense about it. Yeah.
I didn't know enough in government high school about all that. I had just stumbled out. I think I smoked weed for the first time when I was 16, and that led me to libertarianism. And, so I really didn't start getting into liberty until I was 18, and by that time I was done with government high school.
My favorite part is when he tells about having been in the Young Rush Limbaugh Club.
That was in I was in middle school, but yes.
that's not a bad start. Rush has some okay qualities in certain areas.
Well, back then he was railing against the liberals instead of pumping up the big government conservatives.
Yeah.
So anyway, but that aside, one example I can think of pushing back, and I've always pushed back against authority. I've always, ever since I can remember, I've been anti-authoritarian. I don't know why, just how I've been. Even as early as, you know, kindergarten, I can remember having these tendencies. And I recall in high school when I found out about the class called internship, where you could go and get a high school credit for going and working somewhere. You know me, I like to work, so I figured, great, I can get high school credit for working.
Sounds like a good idea.
Cool. Yeah. Because I sure as hell didn't want to spend any time in government high school. And so I went to this internship lady, and this was at the gifted school that I went to. Went to the internship lady and said, yeah, you know what I want to do? I'd like to intern at a radio station. Well, first of all, I had a like a 2.9 at the gifted school, and apparently had to have a 3.0 to get into the class, so I wasn't even really allowed to be in the class, and she informed me of that. But then she also tried to talk me out of it. She also tried to tell me that, well, one time we had this guy, and he went out and worked for the radio station, and all they had him do was cleaning the vans and, you know, talking about the job of, well, an intern at a radio station, and making it sound like, well, this is just terrible, and you shouldn't be, you know, you I don't know what she said, but the basic message was, you deserve better, you shouldn't be working at a radio station, the job doesn't, you don't actually learn about radio, you clean vans and you do menial labor.
I'm not going to say for a second that I think radio is a good job that people should pursue.
But it was something I was interested
that
in.
That is the way that you go about, you know, being something in radio. You got to start out at the bottom.
Yeah.
Got to pay your dues.
And so if I were any less anti-authoritarian than I was, I might have gone along with her and said, yeah, that sounds pretty awful. I don't want to do that. But I did want to do that. I wanted to do whatever it took to get my foot in the door in the radio business. And so, of course, I completely ignored what the woman had to say and went off on my own without having any sort of high school credit to back me up and just decided to get an internship. Yeah. I didn't get any credit for it. I just went out and got an internship. And you know what? Let's see. It was no more than 4 months. 4 months of doing the basic sort of interny things of driving the station van to the remotes and setting up the banners, which was all really cool and exciting because, you know, you're working for the rock station.
Right, you're 16 years old. Yeah, that is exciting. Come on.
You feel pretty cool hanging out next to the disc jockeys and everything. And less than 4 months later, I was asked if I wanted an on-air internship. Are you kidding me? Of course. So that's how it all started. And if I'd listened to that bureaucrat in that externship class or internship class, who knows where I'd be today. More on the way. You can take control of the airwaves. Don't listen to the bureaucrats. They're just trying to ruin your life. This is Free Talk Live. Free Talk Live has partnered with Amazon, the largest internet retailer. Imagine a department store category, and Amazon has it. Books, electronics, office products, furniture, jewelry, automotive toys, clothing, sporting goods, and dozens of other categories. Now you can shop and support Free Talk Live by entering through our website. Just go to amazon.freetalklive.com, and Amazon will send us a percentage of your purchase. You're going to do the shopping anyway, so remember to enter through our site, amazon.freetalklive.com. That's amazon.freetalklive.com. Liberty, self-ownership, the nature of government, libertarianism. What do these things mean? If you, or perhaps somebody you know, needs a primer on some of the subjects we talk about on Free Talk Live, you should check out the Liberty Radio Underground. It's an elementary introduction to libertarianism, and each show concisely handles a single topic in under 10 minutes. It's great for someone new to liberty, and it's free. Go to LibertyRadioUnderground.com today and grab an episode, LibertyRadioUnderground.com.
This is George Whitehurst Berry with the Genesis Communications Network. Welcome to our new program, Crash. Are you ready? In the coming weeks, we will focus on alternative economics as well as alternative health and survival topics. We are now in the largest debt bubble in U.S. history. A subset of the debt bubble is the real estate bubble, and I believe we are in the beginning stages of what could be the biggest real estate crash in our nation's history. For crash updates, visit our website at HearonOnline.com. That's HearitOnline.com. HearitOnline.com. That's HearitOnline.com.
This is Jack Blood with the Genesis Radio Network, and I have an urgent message for our listeners. The mass media keeps telling us that we are the richest, most powerful economy in the world. If this is true, why can't we pay our bills? Why is the United States the world's largest debtor nation? The truth is that we are in the worst debt bubble in our nation's history. When the bubble bursts, will you be able to feed your family? When the inevitable crash occurs, will you be ready? Call Whitehurst International at 1-888-892-6238. That's 1-888-892-6238 for the following two free reports. U.S. debt bubble red alert and real estate crash. Call 888-8-XANADU. That's 1-888-8-XANADU. Ask for George.
Get the best of both worlds. Solar power for your household essentials and a backup generator all in one. Perfect for hurricane seasons. No long gas lines, no fumes, and no noise. Lower your electric bill and be prepared year-round. Complete solar kits for under $1,200. See the complete solar power generator kit at kensolar.com. Order your solar power generator from Ken's website at kensolar.com.
Are your Federal Reserve notes looking for a safe haven? Mine found it in precious metals. Not paper promises, but actual gold in my possession. It is liquid, it is private, it owes no one, it cannot go bankrupt, and it maintains its purchasing power. Find your answer at Midas Resources. That's 1-800-686-2237. The answer is at 1-800-686-2237.
You're listening to Free Talk Live. Call toll-free 1-800-259-9231. That's 800-259-9231 and log on at freetalklive.com.
Free Talk Live, it's the live Labor Day edition of the program, and you can bring up anything. The toll-free number is 1-800-259-9231, and it's Ian here with you.
And Gard.
And Mark.
That is, by the way, the SACL CAI toll-free line, 800-259-9231. You can join us online at freetalklive.com. Get signed up for the updates. Whenever there's something fresh to announce about the show, get on the list, updates.freetalklive.com, and you'll know first. I sent out an update this afternoon, in fact, announcing our brand new auction. See, from time to time, we like to find out what our banners are worth on our website, because we could set an arbitrary price, but I figure it's better to just put it up to auction and see who wins and see what price they pay. And it fluctuates, actually. Sometimes they go as high as $150, sometimes as cheap as $50. So it all depends on who's interested in advertising at that particular moment. But right now, you can get the second banner on our site, second from the top, on virtually every page of freetalklive.com. For, well, whatever the bid is. I think it started at $1. I don't know what we're at right now, and it's a seven-day auction. So what you want to do is go to auction.freetalklive.com to place your bid, and you'll get it for an entire month on our site. You can advertise your band or your business or your favorite charity, whatever, virtually anything you want. Anyway, auction.freetalklive.com.
It's up to $1.04 now.
Ooh, get in it now. All right, so let's go and talk about the Mexican truck thing, because a lot of people are very concerned about this. And it's probably because, as usual, they've been misinformed. From the Arizona Republic, the plan to let Mexican trucks operate throughout the United States has prompted a war of words and legal papers between the Bush administration and Jim Hoffa, the president of the International Brotherhood of Teamsters. Now, this is the son of Jimmy Hoffa. Hoffa and his allies at the Sierra Club and Public Citizen, that's Ralph Nader's group, by the way, have sued in federal court to stop the government from issuing permits to Mexican freight haulers. Their lawyers argued in the court that Mexican trucks pose a danger on the roads and threaten increased human and drug smuggling. According to the prepared statement by Hoffa, dangerous trucks should not be driving all the way from Mexico to Maine and Minnesota. What is it about safety and national security that George Bush doesn't understand? The government argued that stopping the trucks would unsettle a key trading partner in Mexico and delay U.S. trucks from operating south of the border. Officials insist that a lengthy pre-inspection of Mexican firms has resulted in strict safety standards and compliance with congressional mandates. According to the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration guy, he says, we chose to do this incrementally and cautiously. These carriers are going to be safe.
He has 254 inspectors along the border. Only 16 of the 188 firms inspected have failed. Just over 100 withdrew, signaling that the inspections are rigorous, said Hill. The Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals on Friday in San Francisco denied an emergency injunction to halt the program, and the union will continue with its lawsuit. Now, this is expected to start like within the next few days, I think, the idea that Mexican trucks will be coming here and bringing their freight. And, Gardner, you said that people are pretty upset about this, right?
Oh, yeah. You know, it's crazy. It all has to do with the immigration issue, open borders issue, with a subtext. How about a little serving on the side with some MSG added to it, just to get you a little bit more interested in the idea of the one nation Canamera Mexico thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so all these nativists are out there, all these populists are all ticked off saying, oh, how dare they open up the trucking lanes to these trucks and they just let them come in here. Can you imagine these Mexicans just coming in? Meanwhile, the Canadians can do this. Canadian trucks, they don't have to get out of their trucks and move the stuff over to American unionized extortionist truckers.
Because that's what happens right now.
To us, exactly. On the southern border of the United States, everybody, you pay more for your products that come in from Mexico because unions have helped arrange a policy in the United States government, which shouldn't even have such a policy, such that when a truck comes in from another country, say Mexico or some Central American country, and it comes up here, they have to unload the material, put it in a Teamster truck, and then truck it to your store.
I thought American professional drivers were proud of their independence. I'm shocked that there even is such a thing.
They obviously don't think they can compete, do they?
That would be what the Teamsters are.
Yeah. Yeah, and I said, my mom's all up in arms about this. She's like, she was watching Fox News, and she got upset about it, or watching Glenn Beck's show on CNN or something, and she's like, can you believe this? I was like, wait, hold on, Mom. I was like, first of all, why is the federal government even involved with this? This is nothing. This is commerce. What are you talking about? And I said, second of all, can you explain to me if a Canadian tourist can drive across the border or a Mexican tourist can drive across the border and drive around and they don't have to get out of their car and have a U.S. taxi driver drive them everywhere, then why can't a trucker who has a product bring it over the borders? They're still going to supposedly check the border and open it up and look what's inside. Of course,
right.
I don't trust the federal government on that front anyway.
Nor do I trust the feds to correctly inspect the trucks either. But nonetheless, I mean, these trucks are operating down in Mexico. Are they all of a sudden dangerous and ineffective when they cross the border? I mean, the idea that these trucks are somehow dangerous is absurd.
You know what I want to do is I'm going to go on the air tomorrow. And before I go on the air, I want to call somebody at the Cato Institute or someplace else and see if anyone has quantified how much more we would be spending if we didn't allow the Mexican truckers to just continue moving their shipments, if we had to switch over and get the more expensive American truckers.
So wait, I thought that's what they're doing today. I thought they are currently having to switch their loads.
Right. I should say how much we'll save.
Yeah.
How much we'll save, yes. Yeah, I would love to know that, and I don't understand why anybody's angry about this. What ticks them off?
Yeah, this is great news as far as I'm concerned.
It seems unfair that the Canadian drivers can bring their trucks across the border and you know drive stuff to their location. The Mexican drivers
racist to me.
Well, I can see one problem. What if Mexico's vehicle standards aren't as high as Americans' vehicle standards, and the trucks do pose some kind of hazard on the road? I don't know.
So you think Mack Truck is like cutting costs and selling cheap, inferior trucks to Mexican firms?
I think that Mack Trucks get old, and they can be poorly maintained. Mm-hmm. I think you could likely have a 1960s truck driving something or things falling off the back. I don't know what it is that I imagine, but I think that these companies could be held liable for any damages that their trucks do.
You would think so, yeah.
Yeah, that's an excellent point, though, Mark, is you look at the relative ability of an American firm to be able to get maybe top-of-the-line products versus a Mexican firm. Maybe they're just starting off, you know, they don't have the same sort of productivity level or something like that, so they might not be able to invest as much into a better trucking or something
like
that.
But even so, our big companies could do that. And if we're concerned about this, the drivers could be, the trucks could be bonded.
Yeah.
And that would be easy and solve the problem. And then, of course, the union. The problem is the union doesn't like it.
It's all union. And again, here we have the unions. The unions are the ones. The AFL-CIO and the Teamsters, they're the ones who don't want
foreigners to be able to make products that come over the U.S. border. They want to block them. They want to put tariffs on them. They're the ones who want to make sure that we don't have immigrants coming in because the immigrants compete against them. They're the ones who, for some godforsaken reason, all of a sudden conservatives are siding with these guys because of a nativist fear.
Politics makes strange bedfellows,
It's crazy. It's totally nuts. I got to tell you guys, I debated this guy, Stephen Camerata from the Center for Immigration Studies on like Tuesday or Wednesday or something like
that.
And it was a pretty heated discussion, and he tried to make these claims about immigration. And he said, well, you know, it's been shown by studies that immigrants harm native workers. And I said, oh, really? Because there's only basically one study from a guy in Harvard that shows any sort of detriment to low-wage American workers. And I said, well, what about the macro study that Julian Simon did for the Cato Institute before he passed away, where he took like five or six other studies? Because I was going to get the data myself during periods of high immigration in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
Did they have, you know, a decrease in wages or employment for Native American workers? And instead of having to get all the statistics myself, I found Julian Simon had already done it for the Cato Institute. So I took this information. I wrote this big piece. I think it was like Foundation for Economic Education or something like that. And so I said, well, what about this other study? He says, oh, well, you know, that was then. It's different now, essentially, was what he was saying. And he says, and Simon wasn't looking for the right data, you know, this sort of thing. So I said, now, wait a minute. So I tried to bring him in for an example. He was saying, well, Gardner, I said, well, wouldn't you want to be able to get employees who work for less so that you can use your money to get more? And this guy didn't understand. He said, well, Gardner, then that means that, yeah, there is a decrease for the lower wage people because these guys would be working for less. And I was like, you don't understand. The money that is saved in these types of jobs can then be applied to hire people in other jobs.
Sure.
So that's why wages don't go down. It's not a static thing.
Outside of the wage picture, you're also, again, looking at the macro level.
Right.
Even if wages do go down a little bit, you have to remember that those savings are going to be passed on to the consumer.
Precisely.
And so you're putting more money in everybody's pocket by having low-wage workers come here and take those jobs.
Exactly. Excellent
Just
point.
Watch what happens when they finally, you know, if they manage to kick out enough of these immigrants from some of these jobs that the feds are keeping an eye on, these factory jobs and that sort of thing, watch what happens to the prices of those products. They're going to go up if all they can do is hire Americans to fill those roles. You know, who's going to go out and pick fruit in the field for pennies per bushel? Who's going to do that?
And we need these drivers.
Hour three's on the way. You take control. This is Free Talk Live.
George Phillies is the right candidate for president. A serious, well-educated candidate who stands for the basic principles of liberty and the basic principles of this nation. You know the old adage. If you keep doing the same thing, you will get the same results. The choice this election year is simple. More of the same, or real change. For peace, prosperity, and liberty, go to www.phillies2008.org.
Paid for by Phillies 2008. This is George Phillies, Libertarian for President. I approved of this message.
Hi, Ted Anderson here. I'm happy to announce that the audience has increased over 200% this year, and our advertisers have sent testimonials complimenting the responsiveness. Sponsorship is critical at both local and national levels. If you have a business, product, or message that could benefit from this broadcast locally, call the station you're listening to. For national exposure, call 877-996-4327. Become a part of the Genesis team by calling your local station or call the national line at 877-996-4327.
Attention!